Blog Talk Radio.
And praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with Life Support Outreach Church. I just give God praise and glory on tonight. I give him reverence, who is my life, the Lord Jesus Christ. To Apostle Deans and everyone in their respective places, I give God praise and glory for another opportunity to be back on our radio broadcast on this evening. I just thank and praise God on tonight for everything. We're going to get ready to call our Bible class to order now. We're going to have a short devotion, and we're going to get right on into the Word of God. We're going to have a song, a scripture, and a prayer. And we're going to get right on into our word.
Oh,
Amen, amen. Scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respect not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They could not be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not despair. My ears have thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not regarded. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Though I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I had just read you from Psalms 40, from the first verse down to the ninth verse. May God richly add a blessing to the hearers, the readers, the hearers, but most of all, the doers of his most holy word. Lord, we come tonight humbly before your throne of grace, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Lord, that we've committed against you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come tonight, Father, just giving you all the praise and giving you all the glory. We just give you praise, God. We honor you, Lord. We magnify your holy name on tonight. Father, we ask you on tonight to search our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. If there is anything in there that should not be, Lord, we ask you to remove it right now. We ask you on this evening to create in us a clean heart, renewing us the right spirit and a sound mind. We come first of all asking you to bind up the strong man on tonight. Father, bind the strong man tonight in the mighty name of Jesus from our lives and from this radio broadcast in the name of Jesus. We ask you this evening, Father, to just look down and have mercy tonight, Lord. We ask you to change the atmosphere on our radio broadcast this evening, Lord. Just shift it tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we ask you tonight to send your anointing, Father, that we may feel your presence through this word, through the teaching, Lord, the power of your word, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Father, I just give you praise and glory. Now, I ask you tonight to let Deborah Deans decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase and minister to us through your word tonight, Lord. We just thank you right now. We thank you right now. We thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus, we just bind every demonic force, Lord, that try to come into our radio broadcast on tonight. We bind it up, we cast it out, and we command it to go, Lord. It's all you, God. It's all you. In Jesus' name we pray, and we ask it all. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. We just thank and praise God on this evening. I'm so excited tonight just to testify tonight. I'm just going to testify real quick, and then we're going to go right into the word of God, because I know I'm anxious for the word on tonight. But I just want to thank and praise God this evening just to be on our radio broadcast. The doctor had given me news last week that they were going to have to put a defibrillator in my chest and connected to my heart, that if my heart stopped, that the defibrillator would bring it back. And because I took a test and the number was low. But we prayed, I fast and prayed, and other people prayed for me. And lo and behold, I went to the doctor, back to the cardiologist yesterday, and the specialist, heart specialist, she came in to see me, and the first thing she said was, I just want to let you know that you don't have to have the surgery. Baby, I just thank God because it's, oh, God. I don't care if I fasted and prayed. I don't care what I did. But it's all, it was all God. And I just thank and praise the Lord for another chance. I thank and praise God for healing my body. I just thank and praise God on tonight. And I give him glory. He didn't have to do this. I was just thinking to myself, I didn't wait until I got in my 60s to start having these surgeries. But God is my healer. And I'm thanking him on tonight for healing my heart and building it back up where it needs to be. I just thank God on tonight. So that's my testimony. God heal me. God heal me. God heal me. In the name of Jesus, I thank and praise God for his healing on me. In the name, in me, in Jesus' name. So we're going to get ready to go into the word of God. We're going to be still in the book of Revelation. Y'all know where we are. We over here in, I think it's the 9th chapter of Revelation. I don't think I got through. I thought I had got through with it, but the way my writing is, that I didn't. But I'm going to see here. Let me see. Well, from the way it seems. Anyway, we're in chapter 9, verse 11. Chapter 9, verse 11. And I'm just going to read 11, 12. It says, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more after that. See, it was the army of the locusts had a king. And he was the angel of a great hope. This angel was not a servant of God. In fact, this angel was a servant of the devil. Or perhaps he was the devil himself. This evil angel was the leader of the locusts. He led them as a king leads his army. His name in the Hebrew language was Abaddon. And he was the ruler of the world of the wicked devils. In the Greek language, his name is Apollyon. His name means the destroyer. So this was the verse 12. This was only the first of the three troubles. There were two more trumpets still to come after that, after the fifth trumpet. So verse 13, it says, and I'm going to read from verse 13 to 21. Oh, I just read one at a time. And verse 13 says, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Wait a minute. I'm getting confused here. You see, when the sixth angel, sounded his trumpet, verse John heard a voice, and it came from the golden altar. Yeah, it was from the golden altar. Wait a minute, y'all. And there was four angels at the river Euphrates. That's 14. Let me read 14. Saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour and a day, in a month, in a year, for to slay the third part of man, or men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire, and of Janus and brimstone. And the head of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three were the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issues out of their mouth. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the work of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repent they of their murder, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their theft. So in 14, like I said, there were four angels at the river Euphrates, and they had control over the vast army from the east. Until now, the army could not cross the river. The voice told the angel with the sixth trumpet to free the four angels. We think that these four angels were evil angels. They wanted to send the army across the river, but God would not let them do it. They could not do their evil works until the time had come. The four angels were ready for the task that God would give them. They had to wait until the exact moment that God had chosen. They could not do anything until the exact time in God's plan. Then they would lead their armies to kill the third of the people. But the thing is, what we have to realize, a lot of the time, all the time, God have a plan. And when God wants us to do things in his season, we got to move. But we can't move until God get ready for us to move. We can't do it until God get ready for us to do it. I don't care what it looks like, and we think we should do it at this point in time, but we can't. We can't do anything until God allow us to do it. We can't. We have to wait on the Lord. We have to, for everything. We have, if we would not lean to our own understanding and we just depend on him, because God wants us to depend on him, even in this. And the angels know to depend on God. They know they can't move unless God tells them to move. They know this. They got to wait. Sometimes we're so impatient about things. We need to wait on the Lord, because he'll renew our strength. That's what the word of the Lord says. He'll renew our strength, but if we got to be patient and wait, because God knows the exact time. He has the exact time for things to happen. Even people try to tell you things, And a lot of times it be true, but it's people telling you. But when God get ready for you to know something that he wants you to know, it's going to be a time that you know it. He'll send somebody at the right time, and then you will accept what he's saying. But until then, you'll be like, oh, no, I don't believe that. But when God wants you to know something or when God wants you to do something, it's a season for you to do it or for you to know it. So the angels had to wait until the Lord allowed them to move for the time that God had chosen this army to do what they had to do. But these four angels, they had to wait on the Lord. They was ready to do it. They was ready to do whatever God told them to do, and that's how we need to be. Verse 16, at the time that John was writing, an army of this size was not possible. Since that time, there has been an increase in the number of people on earth. There could not be any army of this size east of the Euphrates River. The River Euphrates, it says 2,000. I mean, it's just a lot of people. Let me see, 200,000. And I heard the number of them. He said he heard the number of them. That's a lot. So he hadn't even seen that many people before. Such an army was spread out as far as the eye could see. John described what he saw. This vast army was of riders on horses. Each soldier wore an iron shirt. The color of these shirts were red, dark blue, and yellow. These matched the fire, the smoke, and the sulfur. You know, sulfur is yellow. When it burns, the smoke is blue. The flames are red. So the horses were not normal horses. Their heads was like lion heads. They were fierce and cruel. Fire, smoke, and sulfur came from their mouths. When I tell you that, that's something to see. That's something to see. But John was looking at this, and God told him to write just what he saw. God told him to write this. Verse 18. By these three was the third part of me and killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. The rider did not kill the people. The horses killed a third of the people. They breathed out fire with smoke and sulfur out of their mouth. The horses. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads. And with them they do hurt. The power of the horses to kill was in their mouths, but like the locusts, they had power to hurt in their tails. The tails were like snakes, and they had heads. The horses could bite with their tail. When they did, it was like a bite of poisonous snake. These bites were painful, but they did kill. They didn't kill them. They wanted them to suffer. They want them to suffer. They don't want to kill them. Number 20, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, because that's what there is, this judgment plague, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear my walk. And we know what that means. We know what that means. God giving us an example. Well, we should not worship idols. We should not worship idols of gold or and brass and stone of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. We can't do that. Because God is a jealous God. And at the end, you're going to have to repent. He said you got to repent. That's why it's when I tell you, you should repent every chance you get. You know, you wake up repenting, and you go to bed repenting. Lord, if I did anything today, if I said something, I know I do, because when I go out and drive, I'd be hunting at people to get over move. You know, you don't be trying to say bad things, but you want them to get out your way, but you be thinking wrong. You know, you don't know what you might do. You don't know well how God's going to look at it, but you need to have yourself right with God. So you cannot continue to not repent. You got to repent every day as many times as you can, because you don't know when God's going to call you. You don't know. So you want to be repentant before God calls you. And these men still hadn't repented, and they getting beat and hurt and everything, and they had not repented. I don't understand that. I don't understand that. And I would be hollering and crying and asking God every forgive me, Lord. But I don't know. You know, it's the heart of people, the heart of man. I just don't know. Neither repented they of their murder, nor of their sorry, or their treachery, nor of their fornication, nor of their theft. They hadn't repented of nothing. The people did not repent of all the evil things they had done. And I know, you know, when you repent, and I'm sure you don't have to sit up there and tell God everything you've done, because you already know. But you can always say, Lord, everything I've done is known, unknown. Everything. I repent right now. I confess and I repent. You want to come, you can't come before God in any kind of way. He's not going to accept it. You're going to accept it. But you have to repent. So this is some more things. Some more reasons in the book of Revelation why these men was getting punishment, judgment, plague. This is some more reasons. So we're going to move on into the chapter 10, the little book. It says, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Now, if anybody have any comments, please feel free. If you have any questions, please feel free. Because we all want to learn. We all want to know. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voice. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things, stand up on the sea, up on the earth, lifted up his hand to heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are and in the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he have declared to his servants. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings. That's why prophets play such a mighty role in the end time. Prophets do. Verse 1, John saw a great angel come down from heaven, and it seemed that a cloud covered him like a coat. There was a rainbow above his head, but his face shined with a bright light like a sun. The impression of his legs was like fire. There was a little book in the left hand of the angel, and this book was open so that people could read it. The angel came down to the earth, and he was a very large angel. He put one foot on the land and the other foot on the sea. But this he showed that he had great authority. By this he showed he had great authority on the land and the sea. And when the angel's spoken voice was like the loud roar of a lion, at his call the seven thunders answered. The seven thunders seemed to speak words. John heard the thunders. He heard it, and he understood what they said. But God, John kept a record of all that he saw. He wrote that he heard. He wrote what he heard. He listened to the thunders. Then he started to write down their words, but the voice from heaven stopped him. What the thunder said must remain a secret. The message that they gave was for John and John alone. So I'm saying, and I don't know, but I'm saying it's a mystery, and that thunder, the voice, the words that the thunder said, if John understood it, we would have. But God didn't want him to write that down, because it has to stay a mystery until God will allow us to hear and understand. It has to stay a mystery until then. The angel raised his right hand to heaven, and by him doing this, he shows that his promise is sure. God in heaven is a witness to it. The angel made the promise in front of God. He describes God. God is the God who always exists and always will, forever and ever. He will always be alive. God was here for the world, before the earth, and he'll be here when it leaves. God alone has life, and he alone can give life. He made the heavens, and he made the earth, and he made the sea. God is greater than all, and he is the ruler of all. He has the power to do anything that he said he would do. The future will be as God has said. The prophecies that are in the book will happen. Here's the angel's promise. There will be no further delay. The final phase of history has come. See, they're not stopping anymore. He said, he promised, this is a promise, that there would not be any, no further delay, that the final phase of history has come. And see, because it's been 1,000 years, and like I explained before, God does things. He, just like he did the earth in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh. Well, we in the sixth day now. It's been 6,000 years. And it's going to be no further delay. I ain't trying to scare nobody. That's good news. That's good news for all of us. It's good news. I thank and praise God. And all the secrets was in the little book was done, was in the right. We don't know it at the wild. Things are happening. And it's got to happen. God's word won't return void to him. So and when God for you, he more than the world, more than anything against you. When God for you, this is what I love about him, because he don't let nothing happen to you. When I tell you I'm an example for you all, that's why I try to testify and let you know what I've been through and how God has brought me out of everything that I've been through and going through, how he brought me out. Without a doubt. And he studied doing things for people all around the world. But God is a good God. Verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he had begun to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to the servants, the prophets. The seventh trumpet was sounded in those days. God will finish his hidden plan. This would be the last struggle thing against goodness. It would be the last effort of Satan to defeat the purpose of God. But Satan will not succeed. He will not. He will not succeed. He will not win. And this time, will also be the last chance for people to turn from their sins. God said to give people a chance. Sometimes I think how people can live and be 100 and all this. Sometimes it's for them being good and how long God want them, but sometimes it be God be waiting on them to repent. God be waiting on them to accept him as their God and Father's Savior. You know, people, I'm telling you, they could be resting somewhere. They're 110 years old, still here. He's waiting on them just to repent. He's waiting on them to say that what they believe, and they don't do it. They will not succeed. That'll be his last time. His last time, he will not succeed. And the people that have not repented will not get a chance to repent. They will be in the lake with Satan, because the lake of fire and brimstone was only made for Satan and his angels. But it says hell has enlarged herself. Yeah. That's exactly right. God has shown some of his plans to the prophet. His plans for the end times is in the scroll Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, and chapter 5 also. This book of Revelation tells what is in that scroll. Some of it remains a secret. For example, what the thunder says. And we do not yet understand many things that God has said. We don't understand. But it's not time for us. When it's time for us to understand it, we're going to understand it. Believe me. He's going to make sure that we understand this. He's going to make sure. Verse 8 says, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hands of the angel which sendeth upon the sea and upon the earth. The voice that John heard in verse 4 spoke to him again. He told John to go to the angel and take the little book from him. The angel was still standing with one foot on the sea and one foot on the land. And John went to the angel and asked for the book. The angel told him to take it and to eat it. John took the little book and ate it. As the angel had seen, the book tasted as sweet as honey in his mouth, but in his stomach it tasted bitter. It upset John's stomach. It was as if John was feeling the effect of the word of God. Afterwards, he would be able to prophesy. So he ate the little book. The book contained the message that John had to tell. We do not know what was in that little book. It was mostly like a message to God's people on the earth. It was like something sweet because the words come from God. But it was like something bitter because it was told about troubles to come. God's people would overcome the end. But before that, people would suffer and they would be in much pain. The message that there would be no more delay was a pleasant or sweet message. But the end for God's people would be pleasant. But the time before the end would be unpleasant. It would be bitter for God's people. And that's what it is. You know, it's in your mouth. That word is good in your mouth. But when you swallow it, go down in that belly, and you have to prophesy it out, baby. That belly be boiling and rolling, something in there. And that word come out. You give birth to that word, honey. It come right on out of there. But it be bitter because of what God wants to tell his people. Verse 11, and he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings. Once more, John must prophesy. He must show what is yet to come. The end was not yet, but it will come soon. The days of the seventh trumpet were ready to begin. That's the seventh day. This was a message to all people in the world. Revelation, we're going to start it in chapter 11 now. This is about the two witnesses. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man would hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth and devoured their enemies. And if any man would hurt them, he must in his manner be killed. These have power to shed heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over water to turn them to blood, and to spice earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because of these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. We're going to just stop right there and just talk about this a little bit. And verse 1, and the angel gave John a stick he could use to measure. And it was like a ruler that an architect uses to measure land. The angel told John to measure the temple and the altar. John had to count those who worship in the temple. God would protect the area that John was measuring. There is now no temple in Jerusalem. The Roman army destroyed it in the year AD 70. That is about 7 years after Jesus' birth. But maybe there was a new temple in Jerusalem. John must measure that temple. The outer area of the temple was for the nations, because he said the temple within without. The nations were those who did not worship God. That's who the nation was. They will have control of the outer area, and they will control Jerusalem, called the Holy City, 42 months. For that time, God would allow them to do this. He would not protect the city or the outer court. That should be 3.5 years. The rule over the nations over Jerusalem lasts for 42 months, 3.5 years. At the end of that period, they will not rule Jerusalem. Daniel speaks about a 7-year period. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. These 42 months are the second half of the 7-year period. After the end of this time, the Lord Jesus will come. He will rescue the city and he will rule over it. Now he's talking about the two witnesses. He said, I was in my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days, and that should be 3.5 years, if I'm not mistaken. They will wear rough clothes like those who are sad. These two witnesses are the meaning of the two olive trees and the two lamp holders. These objects stand in front of the Lord who rules the earth. So God will send two men to speak for him. John does not tell us who these two witnesses are. Many Bible teachers said that these men are Moses and Elijah. Some teachers say that they are Enoch and Elijah, but we cannot be sure who they are. These two men will wear rough clothes. This is to show that they are serious what they have to say is important. They tell about God's anger against the sin of the people. In prophecy, a month is 30 days. The 1260 days here are the same period as the 42 months. In verse 2, they are the last half of the seven-year period before Jesus comes. That's 3.5 years. Zechariah saw two olive trees and a lamp holder. Zechariah chapter 4, 1 through 7, that angel, what these meant. And his reply, this is what the angel said, not by force, not by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord of armies. The olive tree provides the oil for the lamp. The oil burns in the lamp in order to give light. So God has given the power of his Spirit to work by these two men, the two witnesses. These two verses shows the strange power that these men had. Many people wanted to hurt them, but none could. Those who tried died. Fire came from the mouth of these two men. Elijah had called down fire from heaven to kill two bands of soldiers. Like Elijah, these men could stop the rain. They did this for the period of 42 months, 3.5 years. Like Moses, they could turn water into blood. God had given to them more power than he had given to any of the prophets. Because, you know, Elijah was a prophet and Moses. They could use this power as often as they wanted. They had caused damage on the earth. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall reign, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he had declared to his servant, the prophet. These two men finished the task that God gave to them. Then the evil beast came up from the deep hole. This beast may mean Satan. He fought against them, and he killed them. And the voice which I heard from heaven, this is verse 8, spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book, which is open in the hands of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. The two men had worked in the city called Jerusalem, and it was there that the Lord Jesus died. When Satan killed the two men, their bodies remained in the street. Sodom was a very evil place, and Egypt was the place where God's people were slaves. So the great city had become like Sodom in Egypt. He's talking about the great city, Jerusalem. The bodies were in the street for 3.5 days. Crowds of people came to see them, but came from all over the world. Nobody could remove the bodies to bury them. The people had been afraid of the two men. They did not like men had said what they had done caused so much trouble. Now the men were dead. News of their death went all around the earth. The news made the people happy. They had parties and they sent presents to each other. The people were only happy for a short time. After 3.5 days, God raised up the two men from death. Hallelujah. He breathed new life into them. They stood up on their feet. All who saw it was afraid. You better be the two witnesses we talking about. A loud voice from heaven called to the two witnesses, come up here. the voice said. The two men rose up from the ground. They disappeared from view up in a cloud, and they went up to the heavens. Their enemies saw this happen. They had been happy, but now they were afraid. They saw the men come alive again. They saw them go up in the heavens. Tell me what God will not do. When he wants somebody to do what he say do, he'll make it. He'll make a donkey talk. You know, if he make a donkey talk, he'll make a man do just what he want him to do. Two witnesses went up to heaven. At the same time, there was a great earthquake. A tenth part of the city called Jerusalem fell. As a result, 7,000 people died. 7,000. There was a connection between the earthquake and the two men. As they went up to heaven, by this God showed that they were his servants. And you don't mess with the prophets of God. He had sent them and he rescued them. The people could see that this was so. They knew that both events showed the power of God. And they had to give glory, hallelujah, to God. They gave him glory. They better give him glory. You better praise God, because you don't know when and you don't know how. You don't know where and you don't know when God's going to do what he's going to do. This does not mean that the people turn from their sin. It does not mean that they turn to God for him to save them. But they had to recognize he is God and God by himself. They had to recognize that he was God. The second of three times of trouble had ended. The third and last one will come soon. When I tell you, it takes all of this for people to repent, and we should be repenting anyway. We should be repenting anyway. It takes all of this. I'm telling you, repent every time you get a chance. Repent. So I'm not going to hold you. It's getting good to me, and I know it's getting good to y'all. We're going to get back on here on Thursday at the same time, and we're going to do a little more of Revelation because we're getting close and things are getting good, and God opening up our understanding. So we're getting close to the end of it, but it's good. And God opening up our understanding. So I just thank and praise God for an opportunity to be able to study the book of Revelation, to read it and understand it. I thank God on tonight. So I'm going to get ready to close out. Father, we just give you praise on tonight for your holy word. We just thank you for opening up our understanding, Lord, opening up our heart to receive what you're saying, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise tonight for your word. Father, I ask you to cover everyone under the sound of my voice. Cover everyone and their families under the blood of Jesus. And encamp your angels all around about them to protect them, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Father, we so thankful. We just so thankful for your word. We thankful for your love. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, for your son dying on the cross. In Jesus' name, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. You all have a blessed night, and keep these scriptures and things in mind. God want us to. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. Amen and amen. God love you and I love you too. You all have a blessed night on tonight. And we'll be back on Thursday. God bless you. Amen. Good night.
Night.
Good night.